Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text 75. So I'll read the Sanskrit and then the English translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vyasa prasada shrutavan etad guyam aham param. Yogam yogeshvarat krishnat sakshad katayata svayam. The translation, by the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. Purport. Vyasa was the spiritual master of Sanjaya, and Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyasa's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear Bhagavad Gita directly as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all yoga systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto Krishna. One who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last verse of the sixth chapter, Yoginam Api Sarve Sham. Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyasa. Therefore, Vyasa is as bona fide as Arjuna because he comes in the disciplic succession, and Sanjaya is the direct disciple of Vyas. Therefore, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciplic succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga are explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. It is to be understood, however, that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so by the grace of Vyas, Sanjaya was also able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyasa. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct a ceremony called Vyasa Puja. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this Hare Krishna movement is based on the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and how those teachings have come down to us today is an interesting subject matter. The verse I read today is spoken by Sanjaya. So Sanjaya was the secretary of the king Dhritarashtra. You know, there was a battle that was about to take place at Kurukshetra. This place, Kurukshetra, is still there. It's a little bit north of New Delhi. And at that place, there was going to be a battle between the sons of Dhritarashtra and the sons of King Pandu, the Pandavas. You know, the five Pandava brothers were on one side of the battlefield, and the Kurus were on the other side, you know, the sons of Dhritarashtra. So Arjuna is one of the Pandavas, and he was going to take part in this battle. It was a battle that Lord Krishna wanted to take place, because the sons of Pandu, the Pandavas, were actually qualified to rule the world. And the sons of Dhritarashtra were not so qualified. They were not followers of the true principles of religion or dharma. And when countries in the world are led by proper leaders who understand the principles of dharma or religion, then there can be a nice situation for people. So therefore, Lord Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight this battle and win it so that he and his brothers could rule the world under proper spiritual principles and thus make the lives of people very happy and complete in every way, materially and spiritually. So Arjuna was a little bit hesitant in the beginning. He wanted to know why he should fight this battle, why he should accept that duty. So there was a conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield before the battle took place. And in that conversation, Lord Krishna explained to Arjuna many important spiritual principles, beginning with the idea that we are not these material bodies. We are spirit souls, and the spirit soul is part of Krishna. It has an eternal relationship with him. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Krishna explains, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that the soul is eternally part of him, and it has a relationship with him, one of service. Therefore, the highest duty of each soul is to render transcendental loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So, you know, that is the essential message of the Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Krishna was speaking these things to Arjuna. It was a conversation. It wasn't that Lord Krishna was just giving a lecture. There were questions and answers. Arjuna was asking very important questions, the kinds of questions that arise in the minds of everyone. Why am I existing in this world? What is my duty? What should I do? What is the ultimate goal of life, and how can I achieve it? These are the kinds of questions that arise in the minds of everyone. And they were especially arising in Arjuna's mind at this moment of crisis. Sometimes, you know, we go from day to day, and maybe these questions aren't so prominent in our minds, but when there's a crisis in our lives, then these questions become very prominent. So this, it was a moment like that for Arjuna, and he began putting questions to Lord Krishna, who was there beside him on the battlefield, serving as his chariot driver. God can do that. He can take any position that he likes. So for his devotees, sometimes he takes the position of a parent servant, like Krishna was appearing in the role of the chariot driver of Arjuna. But Arjuna understood his higher nature, and therefore he put these questions to Lord Krishna. So it was... That is what the Bhagavad Gita is. It is a record of the conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna that took place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it, Sanjaya, as I said, he was the secretary of King Dhritarashtra, who was blind in many ways. He was physically blind, but also spiritually blind. And he wanted to know what's happening on the battlefield. He was in a tent, in a camp, some distance from the battlefield, and Sanjaya was his secretary. But as we're learning in this verse tonight, Sanjaya was the disciple of Vyasa, a bona fide spiritual master. And by his mercy, he was able to hear and see what Krishna and Arjuna were doing on the battlefield at some distance away. So it's a kind of mystic power that Sanjaya was blessed with because of his relationship with Vyasadeva. You know, there are different siddhis or mystic powers that are described in the Vedic literature. In the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavat Purana in the 11th canto, there's a list of mystic powers that it's possible for yogis to acquire. One of them is called Durdarshana, the ability to see at a distance. Dur is a Sanskrit word. It means far away, and darshan means to see. So this is a mystic power, the ability to see what's happening at a distance. Actually, the Indian National Television Company is called Durdarshan. It means seeing things far away. So... And then there's another mystic power, Durshravana, the ability to hear at a distance. So Sanjaya was blessed with these abilities, and therefore he was able to directly hear and see what Krishna and Arjuna were saying, and it was recorded. And therefore we have, you know, this Bhagavad Gita. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is not just some words that are set down in ink on the pages of a book. It's not that we just study the words on the written page and memorize them like we would study some ordinary book, like a textbook at school or something like that. It is possible, if one is receiving the text in the right way, to actually enter into the experience directly, to directly receive the same knowledge that Lord Krishna was giving to Arjuna 5,000 years ago on that battlefield. It was possible to directly experience it today, but one has to receive it in the proper way and in the proper consciousness. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. This knowledge has to be received through disciplic succession. So we have received this Bhagavad Gita as it is from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is a spiritual master, coming in the line of disciplic succession that leads directly back to Lord Krishna. So, you know, there have been hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita published throughout the world. And by reading those, nobody really came to the proper conclusion. But by receiving and hearing this Bhagavad Gita as it is, as it comes to us through disciplic succession, many people have gotten the direct experience and have, and it's shown by them following the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, when I was a student, you know, I got a copy of Bhagavad Gita by some Western scholar, and I read it, and it made no impression on me other than, you know, to think, well, this is some ancient book of knowledge, and maybe there are a few interesting bits of information there that I could incorporate into my worldview. As I said, it was a translation by a Western scholar. But when I received a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is by, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, in 1973, it had a different impact. It radically changed my life and caused me eventually to become a servant of Lord Krishna. So that is the potency of receiving the Bhagavad Gita as it is in disciplic succession. And it is possible to directly, as said in the purport, this is the mystery of disciplic succession. By receiving it in the proper chain of disciplic succession, it's possible at the same time to directly experience the teachings of the Gita as Lord Krishna delivered them to Arjuna. And in one sense, we're all getting direction from Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridisana vishto matasmatir gyanam opohanam cha. I am seated in the hearts of everyone as super soul, and from me is coming knowledge, memory, forgetfulness. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yancharudani mayaya. I am seated in the hearts of everyone as super soul, and I am guiding their wanderings. That's true for everyone. But if we want to be consciously aware of how Krishna is doing that, guiding us, inspiring us, we have to connect ourselves with the disciplic succession and practice bhakti yoga under proper spiritual guidance. Then we can become more and more aware of how Krishna is reciprocating with us, guiding us, giving us knowledge, giving us inspiration, giving us love. Because ultimately that is what bhakti yoga is about. Experiencing the soul's eternal loving relationship with Krishna or God. And when one begins to make progress on that path, one can begin to understand how Krishna is reciprocating with one, communicating with one. You know, there are, you know, so many accounts of how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, sometimes speaks with them in dreams or something like that. I was just in India. I was visiting Mayapur, the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. You know, each year, the Hare Krishna movement has a big festival there. So I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing, but I was there for part of it. It will continue through Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya, which we'll also be celebrating here. But in addition to visiting Mayapur in West Bengal, I went and visited some temples in other parts of Bengal. One of them was at a place called Kanakul Krishna Nagar, which is in the Hooghly district of West Bengal. It's a small place, about 4 or 5 hours by car from Mayapur. And there's a temple there, the Gopinath Temple. It was started about almost 500 years ago by Abhiram Thakur, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada writes about him in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, you know, once he was sleeping, and in a dream, Krishna appeared to him and said, there's a deity of me buried nearby. So he woke up, he went to that place, he brought some people with him, and they began to dig, and they found the deity of Lord Krishna. It's a form called Gopinath. It's a deity of Krishna playing a flute. And then the temple was built to house that deity, and that deity is still there today. And I especially want to go see it because I like things like that, that are examples of how Krishna communicates with his devotees. So Krishna had appeared to him in a dream and revealed, yes, there's a deity of me buried, and he excavated it and made this nice temple, which is still there today. So there are many examples of that, and we can all eventually come to the position where Krishna will be directly speaking with us, playing with us. This is, Krishna has different relationships with his devotees. He, in the spiritual world, in his spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is playing with his cowherd boyfriends, with his cowherd girlfriends, with the cows, the peacocks. It is not impersonal. You know, some people have the misconception that spiritual life is ultimately impersonal, that the ultimate goal is to merge into oneness. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is presenting the real truth, that ultimately we are meant to experience an eternal loving relationship with Him, and it's personal. So we can all ultimately achieve that. And Bhagavad Gita is our guidebook, how to start, you know, that process that will ultimately lead to that goal. So there are many examples. Another example of how Krishna communicates with his devotees has to do with a pastime from Krishna's Leela as Lord Chaitanya. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna appeared in his form of Krishna, playing his flute in Vrindavan. 500 years ago, he appeared in his form as Lord Chaitanya to spread the Sankirtan movement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he first appeared as a child in the home of his father and mother. The devotees were playing the roles of his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. In his pastimes as Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago, he also appeared as a child, and his mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda, appeared 500 years ago as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. So Lord Chaitanya, as a child, was known as Nimai, and that was his name because he appeared to them beneath a neem tree, which is a special kind of tree in India. So he was known as Nimai to his mother and father. So he was living in their house, and once there was a Brahmin who was traveling who came to their house, and Jagannath Mishra would host traveling mendicants. So this Brahmin came, and he had a little deity of Krishna called Bala Gopal, Krishna as a child. And he would prepare offerings to this little deity of child Krishna. You know, devotees of Krishna, they only eat food that is offered to the deity of Krishna. It's like we'll have a feast after this talk. You'll take Krishna prasadam, food that has been offered to Krishna. So this Brahmin, he would offer food to his deity. So Jagannath Mishra said, I will give you the use of a kitchen, and you can use our rice and vegetables. You can prepare offerings for your deity of Bala Krishna, child Krishna. So, you know, this story is told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is a biography of Lord Chaitanya, focusing especially on his childhood pastimes. So this Brahmin began to prepare an offering to his little deity of Krishna. He was preparing some rice and some vegetables, and then he was going about, just about to offer them to Krishna when little Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, came and grabbed the rice, put it in his mouth. And, you know, that normally shouldn't be done. So the Brahmin was a little upset. This child, he's taken the rice, and Jagannath Mishra was a little upset with his little son, Nimai, for doing this. So he was going to slap his hand a little bit. But the Brahmin said, no, don't do that. He's just a little baby. He doesn't understand the difference between what right and wrong. It wouldn't do any good to punish him like that. And besides, I'm a traveling mendicant, and a lot of times I don't eat cooked food. I just eat some fruits and roots, raw things from the forest. So it doesn't matter that he spoiled the offering. I'll just eat some raw vegetables and fruits. So Jagannath Mishra said, no. Please, we want you to offer food to your deity as you normally do. So what I'll do is I'll send the child with his mother to another house somewhere. So he won't disturb you. And so please cook as you were going to do and offer it to your deity as you were going to do. So the Brahmin was, okay, he said, all right, I will, if that's what you want. So he began to prepare another offering. And somehow, little Nimai, he escaped from the other house where he was with his mother. And again, he walked up to the Brahmin as he was about to offer the food to the deity of Krishna, took a handful of rice and put it in his mouth, thus spoiling the offering from one point of view. So, again, Jagannath Mishra, the father of little Nimai, was a little upset with his child, that the child had ruined the Brahmin's offering a second time. So, again, he was going to discipline him a little bit. But the Brahmin said, no, don't do that. He's just a child. He won't understand. I'll just eat some fruits and roots. And again, Jagannath Mishra begged him, no, please cook one more time. And his other son, Vishvambar, the brother of Nimai, the older brother of Nimai, was about 12 years old or 14 years old, came and pleaded with the Brahmin, please cook. Our whole family, we want you to cook as you normally do. We'll take care of this child, Nimai. So they put him in a room with his mother and several women, and they locked the door. Said, not only are we going to put him in a room, we're going to lock the door. And you know, from inside, the women said, okay, he's gone to sleep now. It's no problem. So they thought they had solved the situation. So again, for the third time, the Brahmin cooked an offering for his deity of Balagopal. And then for the third time, somehow, you know, it's stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, touched everyone. And they just, I don't know if you've ever fallen asleep, like during a lecture like this. Some other time you just drop off to sleep. You don't know you're going to sleep, but you do. So that it was like that with everyone in the whole house. They all suddenly fell asleep. Nimai, somehow or other, got out of the locked room. And again, took the offering from the Brahmin and began to eat it. And he explained, you've been calling me. You know, you've been, when the Brahmin was making his offering, he would chant a mantra. Like when the devotees offer the bhoga, the foodstuffs, to the deity of Krishna, they chant mantras. So whenever this Brahman was going to make his offering to his deity of Balagopal, baby Krishna, he would chant Balagopal mantras. Ask him, please, my Lord Krishna, please accept this offering. Please take it. Please eat it to your satisfaction. So Nimai told the Brahman, you've been calling me. So then the Brahman understood this is actually Krishna. Although he's appeared in this house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, it's actually Krishna. And it was a big revelation to him. So he said, now I understand. And little Nimai said, okay, it's very good that you understand, but I'm going to ask you to be quiet about it because I am in fact Lord Krishna, but I have come now in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And when I grow up, my mission is going to be to spread the Sankirtan movement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world. So I don't want you blabbing to everybody that I'm Krishna. And if you do, Nimai told them, your life is finished. So the Brahman, he thought about it. He really wanted to tell everybody. Krishna actually said, of course you're wondering, how do we know this now? But Krishna said, as long as I'm present, you know, here, I don't want you to tell anybody. So he did that. But instead of traveling, you know, he had been traveling from town to town. He decided, I'm going to stay in this town. And occasionally he would sneak over to the house to just to kind of see what little Nimai was up to, understanding that it was Krishna, actually. So it's just another example of how Krishna reciprocates personally with his devotees. And it's very, you know, these pastimes of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya with their devotees are very pleasurable. It's much more interesting than just merging into some impersonal effulgence. This reciprocation of loving affairs, these loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees are full of transcendental pleasure that's, that great acharyas, great spiritual masters say is millions of times more pleasurable than the pleasure of merging into the impersonal Brahman. So these teachings begin with the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And we can, even in our beginning stages, it may not be that Krishna is directly appearing to us and speaking to us in his transcendental form, but he is reciprocating with us. You know, even in our current state of awareness, and we can try to appreciate that, how Krishna is giving us inspiration and knowledge and helping us in different ways to come closer to him. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.